don't know what to do. I got 5 boys. I don't know what. I ain't got nothing to tell them no more. You can't walk away no more.
Well, for starters, it's very simple. Don't bring a knife to a track meet. It's crazy because she's out here acting like her boys are in danger because a black man or child, whatever, about to be 18, was found guilty for stabbing a white kid through the heart and killing him. So he was found guilty on murder for stabbing Austin Metcalf through the heart and killing him at a track meet with a knife he was not supposed to have at that track meet. She's acting like, what is she supposed to do about her boys? Ma'am, the biggest threat to your boys is not white people. It's other black boys, other black men. Around 9 out of 10 times a black man is murdered, he's murdered at the hands of another black person. Our criminal justice system is not out here targeting black people. She's overreacting to a situation that she does not need to be reacting to in this way. And it makes her look goofy, uneducated, ignorant, and stupid. I guess black parents need to teach their children about things like this because, yeah, you bring a knife to defend yourself, but now you're possibly going to jail for the rest of your life. He was not about to be beaten to death at that track meet, and there's no need for him to have a knife. But rather than acknowledging the uncomfortable truths and realities of the situation, we just want to claim and play victim. And what am I going to tell my boys now? Tell your boys to not bring knives to track meets. Tell your boys to hang around with good people, make good decisions. Don't sell drugs. Don't do drugs. Don't hang out with gangbangers. Tell them to go become a productive member of society who consistently brings value. There are a lot of things that she could be telling her boys.
Welcome to this latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly. Obviously, you have to be living under a rock to not know what that video is stemming from. It's stemming from a teen by the name of Carmelo Anthony being found guilty of first-degree murder in Texas and getting sentenced to 35 years in prison. And there's a lot of people raising holy hell about it because they think that the verdict is excruciatingly unfair. Carmelo Anthony is his name. He's 19 years of age. Was indicted on first-degree murder in a fatal stabbing of 17-year-old Austin Metcalf at a track meet in Frisco, Texas. This happened in April of 2025. Prosecutors called the stabbing senseless and plain and simple murder, while the defense argued that Anthony acted in self-defense. Following the announcement of the jury sentencing of 35 years, Metcalf's parents spoke, and obviously people were in an uproar outside. And I'll get to all of that in a second outside the courthouse. To me, I've been very, very hesitant to comment on this because obviously all the facts, you want to make sure that you have all the facts in play and what have you. And upon reading about the facts, hearing what happened from witnesses, from what was they said, Carmelo Anthony told them what happened himself and what information and what evidence was deduced. We're looking at the fact that he was sentenced to 35 years. What I'm getting tired of is folks coming to the situation a bit late. All of this noise that's being made about the verdict. How come the noise wasn't made from open and tap to make sure proper representation was provided, so therefore we couldn't be sitting back after a sentencing of 35 years in prison was handed down looking to correct the error of the court's ways in your mind? Let me state for the record and get this out the way right now. I am not happy that Carmelo Anthony got sentenced to 35 years. I'm not happy with the sentencing because I'm not happy with the makeup of the jury. 18 jurors, about 6 minorities, none of whom happen to be black. I don't believe that's being judged by a jury of your peers. Here's the reality, though. That's all I can say. That is all I can say. Carmelo Anthony murdered Austin Metcalf. There is no other way to slice it. How else do you explain, or can you explain you at a track meet, appearing in a visitor's tent. Austin Metcalf and his brother, according to reports, come over to you asking you to leave because you're sitting under their tent. An argument ensues. Folks have said it spanned more than 5-6 minutes. Others said it went as long as 15. A two-hand shove is believed to have happened by one witness. Another witness said it was a one-hand shove. How does that justify Carmelo Anthony pulling out a knife and stabbing Austin Metcalf to death? How? How? Some would argue, what the hell were you doing at the track meet with a knife to begin with? Others would argue, it wasn't like you were in fear for your life. There were witnesses around. There were people around. At worst, they might have expected fisticuffs, if that. A matter of fact, one witness was quoted as hearing Austin Metcalf said, I don't want to fight you. I don't want to fight you. But Carmelo Anthony saying, touch me, put your hands on me, and watch what happens. A witness, not a witness to the actual stabbing, but somebody who was in attendance in the immediate aftermath of the stabbing, reportedly, according to testimony, sworn testimony, on the stand said they went to Carmelo Anthony, who had jogged away from the area of the incident. They walked up to him and they said, what happened? He said, he put his hands on me, as in Austin Metcalf. He put his hands on me, so I stabbed him. That's not justification for killing someone. I would give anything to be able to say something definitively in Carmelo Anthony's defense. If there was a shred of innocence to the incident itself, I would say so. I don't want to see a little black young man going to jail. But I don't give a damn what your race. I don't give a damn about what your race, your ethnicity is. Just because you're white and young doesn't mean you deserve to be murdered. And just because you're black and young with challenges that black folks face every single day doesn't give you a license to murder someone. That's what happened. Now, I know there's some people out there that's going to look at this. And there's a lot of thoughts that's going to come to their mind. There's a lot of people that are in an uproar right now. Of course, when you talk about Frisco, Texas, you talk about stuff in the Dallas area, anybody with an incident like this is going to want to hear from Representative Jasmine Crockett. Obviously, she had a lot to say about this, and there are others who responded to what she had to say. Take a listen.
This wasn't someone who said, hey, let me stab you 5, 6, 7 times. And so when you're looking at the punishment range, there's a reason in Texas that it goes from 5 to 99 or life, because you are looking at how intentional, like how bad was this? 35 years for a kid who had decided to go under a tent that was not his team's tent as it was raining. The fact that there was little to no mercy seen or humanity seen when this black boy said that I was scared, or the fact that honestly anybody else who did something with such a small object, all I know is that it wasn't considered unlawful carrying of a weapon because the blade was not long enough.
No accountability whatsoever. And y'all, you know, taking up for these police officers that's trained, that, do you know how different it is to be at a track meet and a guy say, move out of my tent, and he say, I don't want to fight you, and you stabbed him, compared to a police officer
who people are trying to beat and kill. The crazy thing is that they know that that's how it is. But the white kid is trying to reason with him and end up stabbing him. When he know doggone well, if them white boys came under his tent at his school, people be like, well, man, you got to get up out of this tent or we're going to start throwing blows. And they act like they victims, knowing that they would have been fighting instead of talking in the first place.
To us, especially to teach our young black boys, because we have definitely seen this in our community, where the slightest of things has touched off something that can't be reversed. That's in true. Decision-making and that's discernment true. And wisdom. And those are not easy conversations to have in a world that sees them the way that they do, but we have to have them to save them.
The first woman was Representative Jasmine Crockett out of Texas. The second was Officer Tatum, a popular podcaster who was just on this show recently debating someone on the liberal side. He's a conservative. And the last person was Jemele Hill, who's been in this business for many years, doing outstanding work as a reporter, first for ESPN and obviously now for The Athletic. Everybody has a point. This is not about both sides. No, this is not what that's about. I'm just speaking about what they said there. See, you're not going to hear me say that Carmelo Anthony didn't deserve to be convicted. You had no business having a knife at the incident. You damn sure had no business pulling it out. And you damn sure had no business stabbing somebody in the heart, the chest, right ventricle, or what they said. You had no business doing that. Over an argument? For what? One incident ruined the rest of your life. You were crying after the verdict. You were crying approaching and re-entering the courtroom for sentencing. Because obviously, if you had to do it all over again, it's the last thing you would do. Why? So nobody is trying to absolve him from the heinous act that he committed. But listening to Representative Jasmine Crockett, I would ask an Officer Tatum or anybody else to pay attention to the specificity of what she said in this regard. She's talking about the 35-year sentencing. She's not touching on his innocence or guilt. And the reason why you touch on the 35-year sentencing, remember, she's licensed to practice law in Texas and Arkansas and federally, so she'd have a clue about what she's talking about. The reason why she brought this up is because of the case of Kasen Allison. You may not have heard that name before, but this person, Kasen Allison, who obviously is not black, I shouldn't say obviously, but is not black, was sentenced to 10 years in prison. After a 2022 stabbing at Belton High School that killed 18-year-old Jose Ramirez during a bathroom fight. This is also in Texas. But Allison was not convicted of murder. A jury instead found him guilty of criminally negligent homicide, a much lower level offense under Texas law. So what you're having is a situation where the law in Texas allows you to impose a sentencing of anywhere from, what is it, 5 years to 40 years or whatever it is. Whereas when it's criminally negligent homicide, that's a far lesser charge. So what they're saying is it's a similar incident. And if the incidents were similar, why is one sentenced for 10 years and the other is for 35? See, that's the discussion we should be having. At least one of them. The discussion we should be having is, are we supposed to be judged by a jury of our peers? I see a black person on that jury. They said minorities. What kind of minorities? Asians? Native Americans? Hispanics? What? I didn't see any black people on that jury. That's about it. Outside of that, Carmelo Anthony has no hat to hang on. Has no hat to hang on. You can slice it any way you want to. Can't do it. Can't do it. But what Jasmine Crockett was bringing up is a point worth considering. Why was it this criminally negligent homicide as opposed to first degree murder? In the days to come, I'm certainly going to have somebody on the air with me to explain the difference and why one was such a case and one was not. One was first degree murder and the other was negligent homicide. Why? When both involved stabbing incidents. Why? That's about it. Those are the two arguments. Those are the two arguments. I'm going to repeat it again. Criminally negligent homicide compared to first degree murder. One involving a 10-year sentence, the other involving a 35-year sentence. Obviously, Carmelo Anthony getting the stiffer of the two. And the other is the makeup of the jury. That's it. Anything else that we're talking about, anything else we're arguing about, anything else we're going back and forth about, got to pay attention. You got to stop it. Because it gets into a more deeply rooted problem. So many times we look at certain situations and we ask ourselves, why do we continue to go through this? Because the system is against us. This ain't the argument. This ain't the time to make that argument. You were at a track meet. And at that track meet, you have an abundance of people around. Your life wasn't in danger. You might have tried to make the argument about self-defense. It wasn't holding water with the jury, who came back with a verdict in 3 hours. 3 hours, that's all it took for them to come back with a verdict. And the same jury was the one that handed down sentencing. So the issue is with the jury, and the issue is with the stiffness of the penalty. My point is, I'm watching everybody out there now, and everybody wants to make noise now. Where was the noise before? Activist. Other lawyers. Supporters. Politicians, etc. Where the hell was everybody earlier? Because I didn't see it. The time to make the argument about the jury, the time to make the argument about his representation, the time to make the argument about the flagrant unfairness of the system, meaning the charges that were levied against him, there should have been a lot more noise. Should have been a lot more noise. I'm not saying it was no noise. I'm not saying nobody was saying anything. I'm saying it should have been a lot more noise. That's not what happened. And now here we are. We're in a situation that you simply can't get around. You know what really hits home for me? I think it would hit home for any parent who sends their child to high school, is fully aware that they're competing in track, and then get a call or a knock at the door, and they're told that their child is never, ever coming home again, that he's died. I think the father of Austin Metcalf, Jeff Metcalf, put it in a way any parent would feel when he said this right here. According to the article, said that his son's death destroyed the person he used to be. Quote, people think grief is sadness. It is not. It is rage. Pure, unfiltered rage. He said as he slammed his fist on a table. Pure, unfiltered rage. What parent wouldn't feel that way? You come home and you learn that you've lost your son. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. Who amongst us would feel differently? So when you see people out there and they're making a whole bunch of noise and they're going off as if the system has done some grave injustice, they're still talking about the guy that's alive with a 35, albeit with a 35-year sentence. You're not taking into consideration the parent that's going to have his son that's never going to see his son again. Jeffrey Mead, I think he's a conservative voice. I see him online sometimes. He had a response to all of that. I want you to listen to this.
You need to be ashamed. You and you need to be ashamed. Because that's one of y'all's that was in there.
Notice what it was about. She said, you guys ought to be ashamed because that was one of y'all's that was in there. Meaning the black law enforcement officers ought to be ashamed because a black boy was just convicted of murder after he stabbed somebody through the heart and killed them. What you just watched is the reason most black people just simply are ignoring that reality. They're siding with Carmelo Anthony simply because he's black. That's it. Think about why she said they ought to be ashamed, because that's one of yours in there. She wasn't saying, hey, was this the right verdict that the jury came to? I mean, I don't even know why she's shaming police officers or state troopers. I don't know if they were police officers or state troopers. Either way, it was about the fact that they're black, he's black. That means you should be on his side and you shouldn't be helping enforcing any laws around this place. This is why you see black people in many cases around the country losing their mind right now, because they're automatically siding with Carmelo Anthony because he's black. If roles were reversed, exact same case, set of facts, they would then want the conviction. Then they'd be saying a black boy was murdered at the hands of a white boy and that white boy needs to be held accountable. That's what they would be saying. Because again, it's not actually about the facts, what's true, what's fair. It's about siding with black people and black people not getting the short end of the stick. Or in reality, just being held accountable. This is one of our problems, because when you're this pro-black, no matter what, it hijacks your ability to reason. And you say dumb things, you do stupid things, you run yourself out of opportunities, you lack accountability. This is one of black Americans' biggest problems. And overall, our biggest problem in the country right now is this. But when you say that, you get called a coon, a Sambo. Many of us don't like to hear the harsh reality. And the harsh reality is black people have to be better. Black people siding with other black people simply because they're black is what makes black Americans, and honestly, the laughing stock of all of the races. They just don't do it to your face.
Jeffrey Mead, I believe that's your name. Before I say anything in direct response to what you just articulated, I don't know you. I think you're conservative or whatever, and that's fine. I would ask you to be a little bit more sensitive. As black people, let's stop talking as if black people have never suffered in this country. That we don't have a reason to be suspect and to raise the proverbial eyebrow. Like the system is always just and the system always has done right by us. And we've never been victimized. Because that's how you sound, my brother. I'm just saying dumb, saying folks are dumb and saying folks, all of this other negative stuff that you used earlier in the quote, relax. See, one of the things that black conservatives are going to have to come to a realization about is that the manner in which you communicate and you present yourself and the arguments that you make sometimes emanate from your own victimhood. You go at liberals or people with liberal or left-leaning thinking because of the manner in which you're talked about as a conservative. I get it. I don't think you deserve it. We know I've been called sellout, coon, all of this other stuff. The second I disagree with black folks, I get it. But what I'm saying to you is that part of the reason you come at black folks that you disagree with in the same manner is because they've done it to you, because your ideological tilt or your way of seeing things might be different. Two wrongs don't make a right. That's all I'm saying. Don't know you, respect your work that I see online, or and I ain't trying to disrespect you. I'm just saying, let's throw a heightened level of sensitivity. There are a lot of people in the black community that have been traumatized from an historical perspective because of the system we've lived under. And because of personal incidents that have happened in our lives involving law enforcement and beyond that would make us a bit reticent and apprehensive and suspicious about anything emanating from the court system. Let's just be sensitive to that. In the same breath, being sensitive to that, let's everybody understand. Jeffrey Mead had points that are valid. We can't be so emotional that we're ignoring the facts. The fact is, Carmelo Anthony pulled out a knife, stabbed and killed another young man just because he was asked to leave a tent that he wasn't supposed to be in or under, although he was there just to get away from the rain. He wasn't supposed to be there. Now, that didn't give Austin Metcalf or anybody else the right to put their hands on him, to shove him. But it doesn't warrant a killing. And because that's what ended up happening, and he's 6 feet under, it's probably why a jury felt justified in giving him 35 years and giving Carmelo Anthony 35 years in prison. I don't think the sentencing is right because I don't think it's consistent with the other killing that took place in 2022 involving the Allison character. You get 10 years, criminal negligent homicide. I'd like to know why that is. That was the case against Allison, but it was first degree murder against Carmelo Anthony. We got to at least ask that question. We can't be so cynical on both sides of the ideological tilt that, you know what? If you're a leftist, they some racist bastards. They don't give a damn. The system is rigged and the hell with everybody. And if you're on the right, damn it, when black people going to stop killing black people? Well, damn it, white people kill white people. Hispanics kill Hispanics. People are usually getting killed in the areas where they reside. And by the people they're surrounded by. That's where most killings take place. Now, it disproportionately affects us because we're a true minority in this country. We only make up 13.6% of the population. The dominant minority is now Hispanics. The white community still makes up about 57% of the population. I get it. There's a more profoundly detrimental effect that it has on us. So we do need to be concerned. And it can't just be when law enforcement is messing with us. It can't just be when ICE is messing with us. It's got to be about us too. We need to care about preserving lives and not losing lives, no matter who's taking it from us. Our vigilance needs to be consistent. Preferably before acts take place as opposed to after. But in the end, the truth is the truth. As an outsider, not living in Texas, empathetic to the makeup of the jury, which I don't believe was a jury of Carmelo Anthony's peers, I don't like the fact that he was charged and ultimately convicted of first-degree murder as opposed to criminally negligent homicide or something of a lesser charge. I don't like that. That's the reality. And as we sit here, before I get on out of here, and we think about and contemplate the kind of points that we've been talking about, I want to read something that one of my boys sent to me. He was on my sports show the other day, just visiting. His name is Champ. I don't want to take credit away because it's something that he's been following. He's been following the case. He's very passionate about it. And he said something that I want to read. What bothers me is that when these high-profile cases happen, too many people seem to show up after the fact. If the concern was truly about justice for the young person involved, then there should have been honest conversations from the very beginning about the facts of the case. the actions that took place and what the appropriate consequences should be. Instead, once a verdict is reached or a sentence is handed down, suddenly activists, politicians, media personalities, and attorneys rush to the front of the conversation. At that point, it can start to look less like it is about the individual and more like it's about publicity, influence, politics, or money. What I'm saying to you, bro, is that when a case becomes high profile and attorneys, activists, and organizations get involved after the fact, the question has to be asked whether the focus is really on a young person or whether it's about creating a larger narrative. My concern is not whether someone is black, white, Democrat, or Republican. My concern is whether we are being honest about what happened. If someone is innocent, then fight for their innocence. If someone is guilty, then acknowledge that reality while still advocating for fairness, due process, and equal treatment under the law. What concerns me is when every case immediately becomes a racial issue, a political issue, a gender issue, or an ideological issue before people are willing to examine the facts. When that happens, justice can become secondary to the narrative. Too often, it feels like people are looking for opportunities to make a case fit a broader political agenda instead of focusing on the actual circumstances surrounding the situation. That was such a profound statement by him. I wanted to make sure that I took no credit, that I gave it to where it deserves. Champ said that, not me. He's 1,000% right. He's 1,000% right. There are advocates who are not focusing on that. Next Generation Action Network, the advocacy group out of Texas. The Next Generation Action Network is outraged by today's jury selection process in the Carmelo Anthony trial. The prosecution used its final strikes to remove the remaining qualified black jurors from the jury pool, raising serious concerns about fairness and equal justice. We respect the court, but we will not remain silent. The Next Generation Action Network will continue monitoring this case and informing the public every step of the way. Every person deserves a fair trial and confidence that justice is being administered without bias. We are calling on the court to ensure Mr. Anthony's constitutional rights are fully protected. That was written on June 3rd, just over a week ago. So a week later, Carmelo Anthony has now been convicted of first-degree murder. His life, without question, completely ruined. We can fight for a better jury. We can fight for justice. But not without asking ourselves, particularly in this case, what is justice? Are we really going to sit here and act like he should just be allowed to go home? And that he should not have to worry about spending any time in jail when, because of an argument where nothing more than a shove took place, an individual is dead because Carmelo Anthony stabbed him in the heart? We can't go there, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what. And keep in mind, as a last nugget of information, the murder charge carried a sentence of 5 years to life in prison. The state agreed to allow jurors to consider, quote unquote, sudden passion as an argument, which, if proven, would have limited the sentence from 2 to 20 years, according to the station WFAA. The defense argued that Anthony was overwhelmed by a strong emotion and acted before having time to calm down. The jury was allowed to take that into consideration, and they still came back with a guilty verdict for first degree murder. And then within hours came back with another verdict, sentencing him to 35 years in prison. Violence isn't the answer. And under no circumstances, outside of true life-threatening self-defense, should it be justified. Carmelo Anthony's life was not in jeopardy. There were people around. Not a punch was thrown, according to reports. It was a shove. precipitated by Carmelo Anthony saying, touch me and watch what happens. And then he told the coach that ran up to him and asked him what happened. He said, he touched me, so I stabbed him. I'd love for there to be a way around it, where Austin Metcalf wasn't dead, where Carmelo Anthony wasn't charged with first-degree murder, where he didn't have a knife at a track meet. But that's not what happened. And he's paid with it for all intent and purposes, with the next 35 years of his life being spent behind bars, although he is eligible for parole after serving half of that sentence, which would be 17 and a half years. Chances are, at a parole hearing, 17 and a half years from now, ladies and gentlemen, assuming Carmelo Anthony spends that amount of time in prison, because the verdict isn't overturned on appeal or anything like that, chances are, if still alive, Jeff Metcalf, Austin's father, will be in attendance for that parole hearing, doing everything he can to deny Carmelo Anthony any shred of leniency. And I'll end by asking this simple question. Could you blame him? Could you really, really blame him? That's it for this edition of Straight Shooter. My heart goes out to everybody. Carmelo Anthony's family, Austin Metcalf's family. It's tragic all the way around. Two lives of two promising teenagers lost. In one case, definitively forever. In another case, in all probability. It's a damn shame. Take care, y'all.